Well, what
I'd
do
like
you expect
to be on
LCDC,
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Chair, excuse me.
I don't have the floor.
Yes.
So what you're saying, the way you interpret number five is that the LSB needs to have a meeting and needs to determine how those two people voted.
That would be my understanding of it.
Okay.
If somebody understands differently,
point of information, please.
Thank you, Mr.
Ahead,
Chair.
Ken.
Thank you. I want to ask about this. What does it mean for the LSB to decide? Does it mean that a majority of the LSB thinks that this should be the way that it gets remedied? Is that what we're asking them to do, to just take a majority vote, and then the majority vote determines that they are acting as a unit?
According to Roberts, the body determines how the votes will be recorded. The motion says that they must be counted. I imagine if the body decides to count them in a way that is unreasonable, clearly unreasonable,
what does that mean?
There would be a challenge.
What I'm hearing in the language here is that the LSB can opt for this option as a remedy. But my question here is, how does the LSB determine that this is going to adopt this as the remedy? You see, is that going to come down to a majority vote of the LSB? That's what I'm asking.
It's the American way, Ken.
Well, I just want to know. I want the answer.
It's the American way.
I'm going to ask everybody to please maintain order. The body would have to hold a meeting to take any action. The body, meaning the majority, mm-hmm. would have to determine the manner in which those votes would be recorded. The motion does not give it the option of not recording them. It says, how shall they be recorded? And again, the members who cast those ballots are members of that body and will be presumably have the right to be present at that meeting to speak to what the intent of the ballots were. And
okay. So in other words, if it gets on their agenda and if they go ahead and pursue it, then that's that. Okay.
That's for WBFW LSB to choose something, it has to act as a body in a meeting.
Okay.
Ray is
thank
next
you.
On the stack.
And then Mary Berg would like to be on the stack.
Then comes
like
Lydia,
come
then Mary, then AC.
Yeah, Theresa made a point earlier about number five, which I thought was justified, that there should be a time limit. On number five, it seems to be able to last as, you know, there is no time limit set, whereas the whole process, at least number two, says that the initial part of the assessing, there will be 30 days for submission by the different groups, and then another 60 days for execution. So I'm assuming that the same 60 days for execution would apply to number five as a maximum, but since there's no end date for this process to take place, it theoretically could last forever. So I think 10 days is too small, too short, but I think we should add a time limit, maybe less than 30 days, because the idea here, I'm assuming that number five would be to find an easier, faster way to resolve the issue properly instead of going through the other process. I'm assuming that's why five was there. So therefore, I would suggest that it be no more than 20 days or 15 days, but there would be a limit set.
Do you want to move to amend it to say at their next meeting?
I don't know. When is that? Do we know when that is?
Ambrose?
It's always the second Wednesday of the month.
Ambrose can't hear you.
Always the second Wednesday of each month.
Well, that might be it, Mr. Chair.
Please don't interrupt. Are you proposing an amendment, Ray?
Yes, I am. But the number two reads that there will be 30 days to submit. So the first question I guess I would have is, does this number five, or the 60 days for execution, does that apply also to number five, or is it expected that that would come in effect immediately? And if it does apply, then I would say that they would have within 10 days of the next meeting, which is when, that's what I'd like to hear, they should have the process completed, including having the election supervisor's opinion.
Okay, well, in terms of the question about what it means, if you sense ambiguity, then I would recommend you propose language to clarify any ambiguity. In terms of their next meeting, Ambrose said it's the second Wednesday of the month, so the second Wednesday of the month has already passed. Is that correct, Ambrose? You had a meeting on the 8th?
That's right.
So the next meeting, their next regular meeting would be April 12th.
That's right.
Mr. Chair.
Would you like to be on the stack?
Yes.
Teresa?
Thank you.
It's about a month from now.
Right.
So therefore, it would kind of match more or less the 30 years requirement for the suggestion to be proposed.
Of course.
So then, I'm not sure what the rationale was for allowing 60 years for execution.
The rationale was that it might take 30 days for the recommendation, and then another 30 days once it was done to hold the meeting, depending on what the scheduling was.
So the 60 days is for the whole process?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so then I would say that then to be executed in no more than 30 days.
So mm-hmm. that the WPFW may, as a remedy, choose within 30 days to count the two excluded ballots?
No, that they count it at the next meeting, which is about 30 days, and that the process be executed within no more than 30 days.
Okay, so a motion to amend item part 5 to say that the WPFW may, as a remedy, choose at its next meeting.
In fact, doesn't it apply to all potential remedies?
Yeah.
That means every remedy in this entire resolution.
I'm trying to get the language the member intends, and then I will ask for a second. The motion is that...
Now, you're trying to have him change it. This number 2 applies to all remedies in this resolution. Why are we changing it?
Okay. The member is suggesting an amendment.
Steve Pierce. As long as we understand the intent, if we understand the intent to be so, then I would keep it. Then there's no reason to put it. As long as we're clear, that's what it means.
He'll withdraw the amendment. Okay, so next I have Lydia.
And Bob, please.
Okay. Now, my understanding of Ambrose's amendment from
I withdrew the last part of the amendment. The amendment was that they do it at the next board, at the next meeting.
Okay, so you'd like to amend it so that the WPFW LSB may, as a remedy, choose at its next meeting to count the two excluded ballots and allow the election supervisor, Angela Luria, to certify the results of the retabulation of the ballots.
Exactly.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
There's been a second. So we're discussing that amendment.
I hate to say this, Mr. Chair, but I didn't get that, so can you send that to me?
Yes.
Are you going by the stack, or are you just...
Yeah. I will ask people on the stack whether they wish to speak to the amendment or whether they'd like to be on the stack when we return to the main question. Next, I have Lydia.
Okay, well, I can speak to the amendment, but I was originally on the stack for the main question. But, again, just stressing that the way that I am interpreting this is that they may choose to count. I don't think that it's even legal for us to mandate the election supervisor to count something that may be illegal to count or illegitimate to count, and that perhaps no other election supervisor in the network would count those two particular ballots. I don't think that we can mandate that. We can only mandate that she look at them and assess whether you're even able to count them. That's on the amendment. On the other thing, I was just going to recommend to Sarv to read the report. If you don't have it, let us know. I think Dave sent it around, and I think Carol Wolf. Read the extensive report and listen online to the coordinating committee. I think that's the most compelling two pieces of explanation. Otherwise, we'll keep going around in circles, and that's to anyone who did not do both.
I'm sorry, AC? I couldn't get to it.
AC?
I was next on the stack, please.
And Rob.
Oh, excuse me. Mary was next.
I was after Lydia.
Okay. Yep.
Well, I agree that with Lydia. I wish people would. I hope they will read the report and listen to the meeting. My understanding was the reason why we came to this is that Angela Luria, this was either in the report or in the discussion, said that they could be interpreted two ways. She didn't say she could not determine anything. So the idea was to see if they would, if by including them, the results would be different. And she could run the election with them in those two different ways, if there are two different ways of interpreting them. So that was the point of that, because the people should bear in mind the issue is the only reason the body would have to look and make a determination what to do with ballots is if they would affect the outcome. And if they would not, then they can, the body doesn't have to do this. So that the purpose, the meaning of that, as I recall it, and what my intention was that she could determine whether the board has to do anything about, whether they have to look at these ballots or not. That would be done before the board would be looking at it, and that's why it says the supervisor would be doing this. And as I said, we understood at the time that there were two different, she had said that they could be interpreted and in two different ways. Is that clear? So she could just simply recalculate, run the program for the election with each of those ways to find if there's any way in which these ballots, had they been included, would alter the results. If they wouldn't, then they're irrelevant.
Mr. Chair,
at least for that purpose.
Yeah, AC is next, and we're speaking to the amendment.
I was speaking against the amendment.
You're speaking against the amendment to do it within.
Because the time is already in item two, and it doesn't need to be there. It just is more confusing.
Okay, speaking against the amendment, AC.
Yeah, I'm picking against the amendment too, but I wanted to say that we seem to continue to skip over one thing. I think we need to look at the instructions on the ballot. We still have the ballots, and the ballots have been offered for inspections on two occasions by everybody. And so that this argument continues to run about the ballots. The instructions was clearly on the ballots. Also, two people, including the chair as well as the round, explained the ballots as well. And the instructions were on the ballot. There was not a question of whether or not the ballots were valid or invalid. I mean, you could play God and try to interpret the ballots, but otherwise, it seems to me that we ought to look at the ballots themselves. If everybody wants to see the ballot, I don't know if that's legal, but it may be, and perhaps we should request that. And if we do, then we can tell whether or not the ballots are valid for, as Lydia points out, whether they're valid or not. I mean, they may not be valid. I mean, of course, that was Angela's position. I want to reaffirm what Angela's position was. It was the fact that any number of people could interpret this differently. Maybe they might have taken a different tact than what was taken, but Angela also supported the upholding of the election, okay, on the basis of the fact that that this is a personal issue that would any given inspector of the ballot, any given person who might conduct the elections, but I would suggest that they look at the actual ballot, which we still have, and they can see whether they were marked contrary to the reports that was, to the instructions that were given.
And one of those who marked that way is a lawyer.
I mean, go ahead.
Mr. Chair?
Wait a minute. Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mary?
No, I mean,
Ambrose,
Mr. Chair?
Were you finished?
Yeah, I was going to say if Ambrose wanted to add to what I just said, that's fine. I will give him my time if that's okay.
I think we're beyond time on that.
I'm through.
This is Rob Robinson. I've asked to speak a number of times.
Yeah, I'm asking what Mary is asking. Is she asking to be on the
staff? She's spoken about 15 times.
I understand. I'm asking whether she's asking to be on the staff. Mary, what do you want?
No, me. I wasn't asking for anything.
Okay.
It wasn't me that spoke.
Okay.
I mean,
I did speak, Bob,
and I finished.
Okay, we have Teresa, Bob, and then Rob.
I'm very disappointed that the WPFW LSB has not officially met. Of course, they had a monumental task of electing their committee's representatives at their last meeting. But if I were WPFW, I would hold a special meeting as quickly as possible and look at the two ballots and determine whether they can be...
I'll stand outside them.
Whether they can be viewed any other way and do the calculation so we can move on. I'm only responding... I thought that Angela Luria could have done it, actually.
She said.
But since you, Dave Adelson, are telling us that Robert's Rules of Order gives an opportunity for the group to vote on disputes, okay, which to me is kind of odd. To me, it does seem very odd, because if somebody actually is clear that their ballot is in the minority, and then the group is going to vote on it and the majority wants it otherwise, they could actually say, well, it says A, but we see it's Y, you know, we see it's B, you know. But if you think that Robert's rule says that the group will vote on it, then I think the group ought to meet immediately and vote on that as quickly as they can, giving notice so we can put this behind us. And I don't understand why they're dragging their feet, other than the fact that they had other important business on their last meeting. Certainly, I'm going to vote against this. I would like to say that they have to do their business by the 22nd, for example, which is enough notice to give them, you know, to have a meeting, plenty of notice, get everybody together and make a determination so you can move on. Thank you.
Okay, Bob?
I'll speak after Rob.
Patty.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm really frustrated. The LSB has voted on this matter three times. Angela Luria has written to us about this several times. The instructions were very clear on the ballot. I hear people on this board saying things about understanding the intentionality of the votes. The only thing that you can determine from the disallowed ballots is that they did not follow the instructions. I do not think that you can conclude what the intentionality was. Secondly, we don't really know, and there's no way to have any certainty about who the people were that filled out those ballots, because our balloting doesn't provide for people writing their names down on the ballots. So the notion that anybody can logically determine what was meant or who meant to vote in a particular way is just ridiculous. It's very illogical. And I really think that this is a huge waste of time. Once again, this goes to the fact that we've got people in governance who, when they can't get their way, decide that they're going to bring everything to a grinding halt. And I'm very disappointed that this body can't look at this issue logically and get over it.
Thank you. Bob?
I had a point of information for any of the representatives from WPFW. I thought I heard on the coordinating committee stream that I listened to that one of the people... one of the disputed ballots was claimed by one of the people who said, I cast that ballot. Is that true? And also I heard Ambrose just say that a lawyer cast one of them. So is it known who at least one of the people was?
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not.
That's what we heard.
Okay, so my second question would be, is there any reason why, or any rule, why the board couldn't simply... bring the ballots to the next meeting and ask if anyone voluntarily wants to choose to say, I recognize that ballot, that's of the two I'm talking about, the two disputed ones, say, I recognize that ballot, that's the one I cast, and here's what I intended.
Thanks.
I'm just going to say that I would assume that if that was done, the body would take that into account when making its decisions.
Well, it wasn't a rhetorical question. It was a real question as to, was there some reason why that could not be done?
Delay?
Would anybody like to respond to the question?
From PFW.
Yeah, I'd like to say something. How do you know that that's the case, Bob?
Exactly.
You mean you're concerned someone could lie?
No, Bob, I'm not trying to attribute, again... I think this whole business of saying we can attribute people's intentionality is farcical. We don't know, and there is no way to be clear. And for people after the fact to say, I cast that ballot, and this is what I meant, there's no way to determine that. It's all moot.
Okay, we are at time for this item and need to.
I call the question, Mr. Chairman.
You don't need to. We're at time.
Okay.
Somebody who would want to continue to talk about would have to move to extend time. There's one more person on the stack. Patty, do you want to move to extend time?
For 1 minute. I have a question.
Is there any objection to our hearing Patty's question before we move to a vote on these questions?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing none, go ahead.
Did Angela Luria actually see the actual ballots? That's one question I have. Did she actually physically see them?
We're told she did.
Answer that?
Well, in the
She's in Connecticut. So did they get sent to her or something?
Well, we're told.
The answer.
I think you would have to ask. As I understand it, Angela Luria processed the software for the ballots to be counted because the ground had reached a point where he could no longer do that. And he offered, by the way, I want to say what he said. Brown then said that I can't further compute this. You have a choice. Either we do it over again or we go to let me take this to Angela and have her to help process. And he would send the results back to the chair, and the chair would send the results back out. And that is precisely what took place.
Yeah.
Angela did work the ballot, and not only that, only she could have done that because nobody else could. And if we could have, we would have done it anyway.
A point of but that was that night, so she's in Connecticut, so she didn't see the ballot.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm just saying, Patty, it doesn't matter where she was. She was the one who had to work the process through.
Yes, but the ballots, the two ballots. I'm concerned about the two ballots. I had the floor. I asked if she saw the ballots. That's all I asked. I'm not asking. I know the report.
Let me try and answer.
And the other question is, I have
a... Hold on. AC, so the question is strictly, has she physically seen the ballots? It's a yes or no question. Do you have an answer to that?
I have not been involved in that particular
part. So you don't know the answer
to
that.
Seen the ballots, but I want to say that's irrelevant.
The photocopies are in the report.
Wait. This is not for debate on whether it's relevant or not. The member asked a question. Does any other member... Patty.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Does any other member have an answer, yes or no, to the definitively to the question of whether or not the election supervisor physically saw the contested ballots?
My recollection was that from what we heard and discussed and from the report... that she did, and she could have seen the photocopies. I don't know that she saw the actual originals.
Okay, that's as definitive as anybody appears to be able to be. Go ahead, Patty.
And then on this sample ballot in the appendix here of this report, it says no duplicate rankings are allowed.
Mm-hmm.
It does not say one word about what will happen to you if
right.
you do that. It just says no duplicate rankings are allowed. There's no punishment here. There's no saying that your ballot will be thrown out. Therefore, you know, it
doesn't... What do you think it means if it's disallowed?
Excuse me, you're out of order. Do not...
This is a very serious
issue.
I'd like
to ask the whole board to respect each member's right to speak uninterruptedly.
Yeah.
Chairman, how much time we have?
Ask the whole board to respect this member's right to speak the way this member has respected other people's right to speak.
Okay, well, I support this motion. I think something has to be done. Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to move to a vote. The first is the vote on the amendment. The amendment is to amend the motion to say...
Mr. Chairman, could you speak a little louder? I can't hear you.
Surely. The motion is to amend the fifth point to read that the LSB may as a remedy choose, quote, at its next meeting, end quote, to count the two excluded ballots and allow the election supervisor Angela Luria to certify the results of the retabulation of ballots. It adds the term at its next meeting. Can you call the roll on the amendment? First of all, is there any objection to the amendment?
In other words, this is a different treatment of a remedy than all the rest of the remedies.
Correct. It says that it will have the opportunity at its next meeting.
Mr. Chair,
yes?
I don't have a copy of the amendment, but I object to the amendment.
That's fine, but your responsibility as secretary is to call the roll on it.
You ask if someone objected, so...
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay. So go ahead. Please call the roll.
Could you restate the motion? I'm not quite clear.
We are amending the motion to specify that the WPFW-LSB may, as a remedy, choose at its next meeting. So it specifies that for the LSB to exercise that, it must do it at its next meeting.
We're adding the words at its next meeting, is that correct?
You mean that we may or choose to do so at the next
meeting? That's right. You may choose not to do that, and then it wouldn't apply. Then the other processes would be
enforced. Point of information?
Yes.
Isn't the difference between having this amendment and not, that if this amendment isn't in there, the restriction above to within 30 days would cut off the LSB from having any input unless they schedule a special meeting, because their regularly scheduled meeting is about 35 days from now. So it would actually give them permission to be exempt from the 30 days and have a little leeway.
No, their next meeting is 28 days from today.
It's April 12th.
Oh, pardon me, you're correct.
Well, it's not from today, it's from the...
it's from today. Okay. So that's what this amendment would accomplish then, is giving them the leeway to do this at their next regularly scheduled meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
I suppose you're correct.
Okay.
So.
Okay, should we call the...
But I was right. Okay. Starting with A.C. Byrd.
I object.
So you say no?
No.
Okay. Rob Robinson?
No.
Sarv Randhawa?
No.
Mary Burke?
Pass.
LaVarne Williams?
No.
Patty Heffley?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Abstain.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Lisa Davis?
Pass.
Lydia Brisson?
Pass.
Teresa Allen says no. Sandy Wyman? Sandy Wyman? Ken Freeland?
Yes.
Deb Shafto? Deb Shafto? Steve Pierce?
No.
Deb Shafto says no. Steve Pierce? Ambrose Lane?
No.
All right. Mary Burke?
No.
Lisa Davis?
Yes.
And Sandy Wyman? Steve Pierce? All right. We have 4 yeses. We have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 noes.
The amendment fails. Okay, now on to the main motion as unamended. Can you call the roll on the main motion?
Please cite the main motion, please.
Okay. The main motion reads as follows. Hold on a second. Let me get back there.
Want me to read it?
I'll do it. I'm just going to read the resolved portion. 1, that a remedy is required. 2, that potential remedies must be submitted to the PMB within 30 days and agreed to by the PMB and executed within 60 days. 3, that such a remedy shall involve either a recount of all original ballots or the holding of a new election for representatives. 4, that recommendations on the preferred remedy may be submitted to the PMB by any or all of the following: the Coordinating Committee, Elections Committee, Governance Committee, and the WPFW-LSB. Minority reports from any committee submitting a recommendation will also be received. And 5, that the WPFW may, as a remedy, choose to count the 2 excluded ballots and allow the election supervisor to certify the results of the retabulation of ballots. Can you call the roll, please?
Okay. Rob Robinson?
Hello?
Rob Robinson?
No.
No. Sar Rondawa?
No.
Mary Berg?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
Sorry, yes.
Patty Heffley?
Yes.
Ray LaForest? Ray LaForest? Bob Letterer?
No.
No for Ray LaForest. Bob Letterer?
No, no.
Bob Letterer says no. I mean, sorry, Ray LaForest says no. Bob Letterer?
I said yes. Hello?
I'm sorry, Ray LaForest, you say yes.
Yes.
Okay, Bob Letterer?
Pass.
All right, Lisa Davis?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Lydia Brezon?
No.
Lydia says no. Teresa Allen passes. Sandy Weinman? Sandy Weinman? Ken Freeland?
Yes.
Deb Shafto?
Yes.
Steve Pierce? Ambrose Lane?
No.
A.C. Bird?
No.
Bob Letterer?
Abstain.
Abstain. Teresa Allen says yes. And Sandy Weinman. Steve Pierce? Okay. The vote's tally is yes is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Motion carries. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the Finance Committee motion on the budget calendar. LaVarne, will you present the motion, please? LaVarne? Okay, well,
here I am. could you go to the next person, please? I have to gather the information I have here on my desk.
I have it here. So
why don't you go ahead? Go ahead, because
okay.
What
this motion? Actually, Lonnie, do you want to introduce it? Are you still here?
Said he's gonna leave you here about an hour.
Okay. Well, the point is that last year we went right down to the wire in the approval of the agenda, in the process of approving the agenda, and part of the problem was that different boards were doing it in different time frames. The National Finance Committee didn't ultimately get a chance to review the National Office budget in detail because that budget had to await the completion of other budgets. There were technical problems in the filling out of budgets at some stations because people were not aware of certain steps that needed to be taken in the budget process, et cetera. So this budget timeline is an attempt to regularize the process, be sure that at every step of the process there's been the proper input and oversight, and that there are deadlines. Now, it does not provide at this point for any penalties for failing to meet the deadlines, but I'm sure that's something we can add if need be later. The key features that I'll highlight in it are that the first thing that happened...
Dave, I have it here, unless you want to continue to go through it, but I have it here in front of me now.
Okay, well, I'll just say one more thing about it. The key feature of it is that it calls for the process to start by the managers receiving input on budget priorities from the local station boards and begin have that done by
April the
30th.
Point of information?
Yes.
Hasn't this already been approved by the Finance Committee?
Yes.
Yes, it's been put
forward. Why is it before this committee?
Because the board has to approve resolutions of the Finance Committee for them to become binding.
Yeah, but why is this committee...
This is the whole
board. I'm sorry.
It's my fault. I didn't clarify that we moved off of coordinating committee and onto the finance committee before. Pardon me.
Too many meetings, Ambrose.
I apologize.
I'm telling you.
So,
I move the adoption of this report from the finance committee.
Can I just say
the motion.
Thank you. Well, as Dave says, we are moving ahead with this, and Lonnie has already met with the treasurers. And at the next due date, he has given out an outline to the general managers
and the business managers on his scale of 1 to 5 in terms of identifying and ranking budget priorities. And the reason I'm telling you, all of you, you people, this is that the GMs and the business managers are to turn this in by April 30th. So any input that the LSBs and the directors may have, you need to get with your business managers or your general managers to let them know that. Thank you.
Okay, so is there further discussion, or may we move to approve this and get on with the meeting?
We already moved to approve it, and it was seconded.
Point of order. May we move to the vote?
Point of order.
Yes.
Just for reference, David, a motion coming out of committee does not need to be moved. It's already there, and it doesn't need to be seconded. It just needs to be approved.
I understand that it didn't need to be seconded.
It was just a gesture.
It need to be moved. It's
okay.
Coming out of committee. It's self-moving.
Thank you. Are we ready to go to a vote, or do people want to discuss this motion further?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead.
We are referring to this as the budget timeline?
Yes.
Okay. Finance Committee budget timeline. Okay.
Correct. Okay. If there's no further discussion, is there any objection to adopting the timeline? Hearing none, it's adopted, and we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the reconsideration of PNB committee composition. And as background on this, I'd just like to specify that during the approval, that during our process to elect committee members, I proposed a worksheet for doing that that allowed for one member from each signal area on each committee based on the fact that the prior year we had ruled that we would have only one member from each signal area on the committee, one PMB member. Ken raised an objection to that, and I said that that was our existing practice. I believe there was an appeal to the ruling of the chair, and the body upheld the ruling. I've since researched it, and we didn't pass it as a special rule of order, which means that each time it came up, we would have to make that choice proactively. So I believe Ken wanted the issue to be reconsidered by the body, and I'll turn the floor over to him to make his motion.
Right. Well, I have the extensive motion that I had previously sent out to all of you, but before I make it, I certainly would like to invite anyone who has a clearer solution to the problem or a quicker solution to put the motion forward, because I'm not committed to that particular way of resolving the question. But I feel that the way that in which we did this, it precluded any possibility of considering existing committee appointments when making additional committee appointments of individuals. There was no way to take into account the fact that somebody may or may not already have been appointed to one, two, three committees, whatever, in considering whether they should be put on yet another committee. So, in my opinion, the possibility of giving equitable committee assignments within signal area's representation was simply not present. And even if the board agrees that we should only have one committee member per signal area per committee, it should still be done ad seriatim, one at a time, and not all at once, preventing the board from considering existing committee assignments when considering additional committee assignments. So I would like to ask if anybody has a better solution in mind than the one that I have circulated for resolving this matter, which would require a revote.
I'd like to ask the body if there's any objection to my participating in this discussion, because I do have a couple of ideas. I could turn the chair over if people would like me to, or I can contribute from the chair if there's no objection.
I have no objection.
Turn the chair over.
Okay, there's an objection, so I'll turn the chair over. Mary, can you, or actually Teresa, can you chair this section?
I would rather not try to take minutes at the same time.
Okay.
Teresa, I can take the minutes at this part, and it is on the archive, and send them to you.
If that's acceptable, you would be the person to turn it over to in the absence of the vice chair.
Yay.
Yeah.
Getting complicated here. Okay.
I'd like to be recognized.
All right. I recognize Dave Adelson.
Yeah, I think the one way to do it is to The problem with doing it serially is the amount of time it requires for the board. And I would say that when the board is voting, it's basically people are choosing who their preference is to serve on the committees. I think that the one way to do it is to limit the number of committees a member can serve on if other members from the same signal area are on fewer, i.e., you can't serve on two more committees than someone else who wants to serve on one but doesn't have the assignments. And the way I would resolve it is by requesting that the member who was elected resign from the committee of their choice. So the point is that one person can't have three if another person has one. If one person has two, another can have three, but not four. So the motion would be that one of the problems right now is we're not talking at the moment about adopting a new standing rule. So I'm not clear on exactly what the motion is that we're being asked to do. What are we being asked to do right at this moment?
If there's no, do you want me to respond to that?
Yes.
If there's no other motion, if there's no alternative motion made, my proposal is that we would redo the election serially to
okay,
enable.
Okay. In that case, the motion I'll make is that that we request that other members of the KPFT delegation who are serving on. You received one committee assignment. Is that correct, Ken?
Well, it's actually not a committee assignment I want, and I'm actually thinking about resigning from it anyway because I didn't really want it in the first place. I only accepted it with the condition that it wouldn't interfere with me serving on committees I actually wanted to serve on. So that shouldn't really be taken into account here.
Okay.
I actually offered to serve on two committees, and I wasn't appointed to either one of them.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to defer from further participation in this discussion.
So do you want to accept the chair again so I can speak?
Technically, once I've turned it over, I can't get it back till the end of the item.
Well, can we point of order or point of information? If you don't want to speak anymore and Teresa does and I do, why can't we... I don't see why. If
the board is willing not to object to my resuming the chair, then we can do it. Is there an objection to my resuming the chair?
I don't object.
Okay, then I'll resume the chair.
Okay.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I see a real problem in making the PNB give any board member a committee of their choice. When the board elects people, if they don't want a person on a committee, if they feel that another person has merit, I think it's not good to force them to put someone on a committee just because they don't want any of the others. And I guess when I mentioned Ken's dissatisfaction to someone on our LSB, and actually it's a person I disagree with quite often, he said, well, he's a junior, you know, he's like a junior candidate, and I guess in a way that's the way it is, because I know that I'm on the programming committee. I may not be the best person, but I appreciate the fact that the PNB elected me to that position, and I'll do my best in that position. So I don't know, but I think that the PNB people will be kind of feel that they're kind of squeezed into putting someone onto a committee that they didn't want them on. Thank you.
This is
Mary Berg. I'd like to be
stack.
In the staff.
Okay, I've got Mary. I have Mary, Ken, Ray, and Lydia. Mary, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not clear on exactly what Ken means by materially, but I know that I do have a problem myself because the bylaws did say at least one committee. I have been on the governance committee for 2 years, and I fully intended that I would be able to serve on it again. And also, elsewhere in the bylaws is a provision that that there can be an alternate. It doesn't say how they're selected. I didn't run for that committee because we agreed, you know, LaVarne, we just agreed that, you know, Rosalind wanted to be on it, and I chose to be to run for the coordinating committee because I thought at that point I could be on as an LSB member, which people told me I could. Later it turned out, no, that doesn't seem to be the case. So I personally am not in favor of the only one person. And part of the reason is, I understand that that was to not give one station an unfair advantage, but in the committees I've been on so far, we have not had hordes of people wanting to do any work. And what we have had is stations with nobody on them, so it's very unfair anyway. If one station has nobody, in order to balance it out, should everybody else resign? Obviously that is not feasible. So you're going to have an imbalance based on what happens. People sign up or are elected, and then they drop off, and then there's no replacement. So if someone's willing and able to work, and they've been working, I am just making a plea to be able to do that. And I am not making it for Ken, I'm making it for me, but the same principle applies. I'm not sure, as I say, what he meant by serially. I haven't really understood about that. But I really want to be on the governance committee, and I don't see anything that would really prevent me from doing that. So I wanted to put that out.
Ken.
Serially means one election at a time. But I'm realizing that this proposal could be wide open to amendment to only reconsider a KPFT representative on committees if it came down to that, because there doesn't seem to be any objection to the result in the other signal areas. My belief is, and I'm not asking to be appointed to a committee as an alternative here. I'm asking that the elections be held over again so that people can know when they vote on, as to who's going to represent KPFT on various committees, how many committees they've already been assigned to. That was something that was denied people when they were voting. They had no way of knowing that with the format that was used. And I'm asking that a format be used which would enable them to know that. If people still don't think I should serve on any of those committees, even knowing that other people from KPFT are on three committees themselves, then I have to accept that, because the PNB is the ultimate authority on who serves on committees. But I think the spirit of the bylaws is that, you know, people, if they're willing to work and able to work, should be on committees in which they have some interest. And that's my request, is to be put on one or two of the committees that I offered to work on, that I'm interested in working on, that I have the skill and ability to work on.
So can you clarify the motion? I think if you're making
I'll say that the KPFT local station board representatives, their committee representation, be revoted on in a format that allows, in a serial format.
Okay, so the motion is that the board revote the KPFT listener reps on the committees one at a time.
However, let me say also, please, that I would support an alternative motion if Mary Berg chose to make it, to allow additional members to serve on committees, so long as no signal area had one more person than any other signal area on that committee.
Point of information.
Okay.
Who's asking that?
It's Sandy. I had to drop off for a while.
You go ahead.
I'm wondering why just KPFT.
Yeah. Because there aren't any objections. There have not been any objections from any other signal area about the result.
Stack, please.
Just what?
Okay, Sandy, you're on the stack. I next have Ray, then Lydia, then Sandy.
And Mary Berg back on the stack so I can make a motion.
Mr. Chair, may I clear this up? The motion is that he wants the PNB to re-vote for KPFT directors serially.
Yes.
On the committees. Okay, thank you.
Ray.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a problem with, I understand that Ken is addressing the issue for KPFT, but clearly it's a broader problem. And I think it would be naive to assume that people vote because they for somebody because that person is going to do work. I think more often this is to exclude somebody whose opinion is not, is not wanted about particular issues such as election and other important topics. So therefore I will not support doing that for KPFT. I mean, personally, although I do realize that doing it serially would be much more complicated, I think it depends on what the intent is. If we decide that we want to do what Ken wants to do, but I think we should do it for the whole system, then I think that price, we could pay that price or find some other sort of technical adjustment. What I would prefer, though, do we recognize some validity in the choice of people voting for an individual? I believe that Dave expressed some ideas before that would limit, I think, maybe to three. Am I correct, Dave?
My language was that no member may serve on two committees more than another member who would like to serve on additional committees.
Who would like to serve? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer to have something like that, some version of it. I had three in mind, and maybe this is fairer, but I would definitely support something being applied system-wide for all the listening areas.
Lydia.
Okay. I have always been outraged by what the PMB did. I think it's completely contrary. I agree with Mary, contrary to the bylaws. The very fact that it says at least obviously implies that more is preferred. And I have no idea what possessed the former board to do this. But anyway, so I would completely support something, if Mary's already writing it down, that would have, well, first of all, I agree with Dave, however. I mean, I think that there should be no more than two committees. I don't think you can do justice to joining all of the committees on the board, for example. So I think that there should be a limit to the number of committees you should join, but not to the number of members that need to be on that committee. So however Mary would like to write that up, I would absolutely support it. I think it was outrageous that there was such exclusionary language to begin with. And if we don't like certain people on the board, I mean, you're assuming that people like you. And the fact of the matter is that we all have to live with each other. We're all on the board. And the main thing is that these people have been elected by the listeners. That gives them their maximum standing. We are not in a position to deny them substantive contribution on the board. They all deserve to be able to work on committees. So I would recommend if we limit committees that any of us can serve on, it should be two, not including the committees of inclusion, since that has a different characteristic. Two plus committees of inclusion.
Point of information.
I would really like to turn over the chair because I really want to participate in this discussion. Ambrose, would you be willing to assume the chair for the
short,
well, that would be good.
Very short period of time
for the duration of this item?
No, until you made the point.
Okay. In that case,
point of order.
Yes.
That would be unacceptable. You know, we can't go back and forth being the chair and not the chair here.
Right.
Either the chair is impartial or he's not. If he's not, then he shouldn't be chairing.
Right. That's the way Roberts has it is once you have stepped off, you step off. Now, we could have a motion to suspend that rule and do it by two-thirds vote, but if somebody is willing to chair this section, I would really like to participate in this discussion.
Do the right thing.
But then I have to take notes, and then I wanted to participate and also take notes. So it'd be better if you would chair, Ambrose.
So do I.
Yeah, Ambrose wants to participate.
Put me on the stack, and then
John,
I'll take.
John, serious? Can you chair this meeting?
Okay. Hang on a second. So we have. I'm going to recognize. It's Sandy, Mary. I'm going to put Ambrose, and then I'm going to turn over the chair. Sandy,
and Patty.
Put Patty on there, please. Patty. Okay.
Thanks, Dave. I have a little bit of heartburn with a special KPFT election. And if we're going to make changes, it's got to be uniform. I feel like pandering to one person's special need in this case is not the solution. And if Ken feels singled out, then, I would say that this needs to be referred to governance. Be sorted out with a reasonable solution that can be brought forward at a later time.
Are you making
and
a motion?
Can also
time?
Refer to. Give me just one moment, Dave. Can also refer to having special skills or superior knowledge in certain areas, which made him more qualified. Well, we have a chance that we.
What is the point of order?
I didn't say that.
Okay, well, let me rephrase. I'm sorry. We have an election. People get to speak before they're voted on, and in that time, you can make the qualifications known. And then it's up to the will of the body. I think I will move to refer this to governance.
Okay.
Second.
There's been a motion. There we go. That's the word. And a second to refer to governance. As per our agreement, we're going to take two pro and two con on the motion to refer.
I'd like to speak against.
Who else would like to speak?
I'd like to speak to that.
Okay, Ken first.
The motion to send this to governance will have the effect of delaying any kind of resolution until at least half of my board term is over. The point of bringing this up in the first place is to give myself an opportunity to serve on a committee of interest while I'm on the board. Something going to a governance committee, which I don't even think has met yet, could result in several months delay in getting a resolution here. I'm asking that the board resolve this question. It should have resolved the question, as Dave, I believe, said earlier tonight. It should have resolved the question at the January meeting. It did not. It bypassed the question of what kind of formatting we were going to use for this, and simply went with the one that was brought forward by the chair, with the understanding that there was a precedent, a binding precedent, and it turns out there wasn't. So I'm asking that this not be delayed further, and that we resolve it as we should have earlier tonight. Thank you.
Who is it? Ambrose, you seconded it. Would you like to speak in favor?
No, I think it should be very clear that the government should take care of it.
Okay.
I don't want to speak anymore to it.
Okay. Is there anybody who does want to speak to the referral?